Welcome to another episode of Twin Chat with Mason James. Here's your hosts, Mason James.
Hello again, everybody.
Hi.
We're back.
We are.
Episode 6.
It is.
6.
Wow.
Looking excited.
I am. I love doing this.
Yeah, so it was... It's Thursday. We normally do it on a Friday, but it's Thursday and...
The girls were in bed by 6:15.
They were tired, weren't they, today?
They were. We had
a bit, of an episode as well.
We did. I had a lazy morning, got upstairs, was cleaning everything. Millie came in. She was like, "Mummy, I've hurt my head." There was blood gushing everywhere. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
What time was this? This afternoon?
About midday.
Right.
So I cleaned everything up, checked... And she proper split her head. And so I went to the doctors and I was like, what do I do? And they were like, you need to go down to A&E to get it glued.
Not before you FaceTimed me in Morrison's, just before I was about to go to a client meeting.
Yeah.
So I was just about to go to a client meeting.
And I'm like, what do I do? And he was like, no, just keep an eye on her. She'll be fine.
She'll be all right.
But it was gaping. And I'm thinking, for cosmetic reasons, because she's a girl and stuff like that, I needed to get it checked. And
so I'm trying to think, how many times have we been to A&E with the girls now?
About three or four. They've been admitted twice.
Yeah, so a couple of times. We maybe need to do a health episode, I think.
Possibly. Touch wood, they haven't been poorly where they've actually had to be admitted and be on drips and stuff like that, but there's been a couple of clumsy moments.
Yeah, they've had the moments.
Tilly done her head when you bought your Jeep. No, you bought your truck.
Oh, yeah, we was in the... I'll touch on it quickly. Yeah, we went to the car dealership. We're trying to do all the paperwork. I've just bought a new car and she decides to...
Yeah, I was swapping over the car seats into your new Jeep.
And she ran around into one of these... hideous 1970s type filing cabinets. Oh my god.
You came outside and it was like Tilly was crying. She had like an egg on her face and it was like, oh my goodness. And because Mace wasn't insured on his truck and
had to sort it all out.
Oh, it was hideous.
Madness. Yeah, we'll have to do a health of twins episode. But apart from today, they've been all right this week, haven't they? Sleeping a little bit better, do you think?
No, 100% sleeping.
I don't know what they've been doing.
Well, what have we been doing? We bribed them.
So true.
We basically said that...
Bribery is the key.
Father Christmas gives each child an extra special gift on the end of their bed. However, if you don't sleep in your own beds, Father Christmas will not know which bed you sleep in and they're not allowed to leave them on Mummy and Daddy's bed. So
yeah, that seems to have worked. It better than bunnies, which I'm glad about. Better than the promise that if you sleep in your bed, you're going to get bunnies.
But they're still putting these stickers on the bunny reward chart. But
yeah. I still don't want bunnies. I don't want any pets. I want any parents out there that just don't want pets in their house, please email me and support me on this because they don't serve any purpose. In my opinion, I know this is going to divide opinion massively, but...
No, because...
Because I'm the only person that'll end up looking after it. If it's
I'll clean the fish.
If it's a dog, I'll walk the dog.
As if?
If it's a cat, the cat's
wanted a doggy for so long, and obviously with the work commitments that me and Mace have at the moment, we can't do it, but I'm desperate because my mum and dad were very much... They had the perfect house, and my dad was completely OCD, and we was never allowed one. I was allowed... hamster. He was called Bubbles. I wanted Bubbles and Squeak, but apparently apart from the Russian hamsters, you can't have two at the same time because they eat each other. So I was allowed.
I'd have pets just to watch that.
That's grim.
Russian hamsters, that'd be excellent.
No, Russian hamsters are fine. Russian hamsters are fine. You can have twin...
You've changed my whole outlook of pets now.
You can have two pets. Russian hamsters, but you're not allowed normal hamsters. So I had one hamster and he was called Bubbles and he lived for 3.5 years and I loved him and then he passed away and I was devastated. But we were so close into getting a doggy, which was one of my aunts when their two dogs bred. And
the girls hate dogs, don't they?
They do.
They are terrible with dogs. The twins just, oh my gosh.
But then I got attacked by a Doberman when I was 5 or 6, so I'm absolutely petrified of them. So they do say that it sort of, it carries down to them, but I've always really tried to be conscious.
You're trying to tell me because you was attacked by a dog when you was 5, that's passed on to the girls?
I'm petrified of dogs now, but I want a dog. So, like, my nana had a dog called Toby. He was, oh my goodness, he was amazing. Oh, I loved him so much.
It's kind of like we're on the internet now, and you know we're online. The response has been fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to us. If Bill Gates or what's that geezer, Elon Musk, the guy who's doing Tesla and stuff, just invent a robot dog or pet that just doesn't need, all it needs is recharging. Just do that for me.
No, it's fine. We just get a small dog because their poop's small, so it's fine. If you get a bigger dog, then their poop's bigger.
We're in the 21st century now. We should have robots. So anyway, we digress. Welcome back to the Twin Chat Show with Mason Gems. We really, really do appreciate the feedback. We went online last week.
We've been online for a week, and the response and the emails have just been absolutely phenomenal. We are so shocked because we just thought it was going to be family and friends.
Bit of fun for us, but actually sharing it with you has been quite interesting. Some of the feedback we've been getting, some of the people that have given us some feedback, some of the questions that have been asked, which I think we might be able to cover later on in the show, actually. It's been really great just to know that, you know, me and Gem are just sitting here doing something that we're actually really enjoying, having a hobby that we've shared for the first time, which is talking about the girls, that other people are like listening and buying into it. Yeah, it's really good, really good. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. We really do appreciate you, because without you guys, we would do it anyway, but
I think
you guys are sort of spurring us on to...
I think it has you. You're like, today, we wasn't going to do this tonight, and you're going, girls are in bed, can we do the podcast? Why don't you?
100%, because we can't guarantee what the girls are going to be like. The girls literally went down at 6:15, and I'm like, can we do it tonight? And you're like,
but the thing is, if they're down tomorrow night at the same time, you'll probably want to do another episode.
Why not?
Yeah, which I don't mind as well, which is good. So the last episode, we went through our first holiday, and, you know, it was a great holiday, and I told some stories about our time out there. I don't quite remember where we finished, but we knew that we didn't kind of like wrap up the whole 2 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, no. You started to touch on the South End, and it's like, because we went to York and we did a couple of other things first, so I thought rather than rushing it, we could potentially, because there's a couple of stories there.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing for me is when we left Holland and we had our long trip at 50 miles an hour or whatever it was, and the kids were going mad
long,
again.
Slow trip.
And we ended up in Calais. So we went there on the train, but we went back on the ferry. And I'm really glad we did that, because I always remember being on the ferry.
I think it was the first time on a ferry for me as well.
Was it?
Yeah.
And I, I'm British, I love it, I love our country. Not so much these days, just because of the division that's going on, but I just always get a bit of a buzz when I see the White Cliffs of Dover. I've been on the ferry loads of times coming back from France, and you just kind of get that, there you go, there's the White Cliffs of Dover, there's home. And it's the same when you're on a plane and you're coming down and you see the UK or Britain. And I don't know, it was, what was interesting, I thought, Gemma, was we're on there with, you know, we're with the twins, with the Americans, with Tammy and Jeff. And I think I made them come up onto the deck to say, oh, look, we're approaching England.
And to be fair, I've never seen a White Cliffs of Dover.
Yeah.
It was absolutely beautiful. I can't even remember who sang it, but I can remember when I was like, no. There was the fireman show with, was it Rob Green and someone else? And they
What about Robson and Gerard?
Yes. Yeah.
So Gemma's referring to some TV series back in the 90s that Actually, the guy that Jerome Flynn went on to star in Game of Thrones and things like that. He's done quite well for himself. But yeah,
I can remember having the CD on Christmas, and they had the White Cliffs of Dover, and they sang it. I never knew what it was, so this is like the first time.
There were cliffs that are white.
I know, they're amazing. They're in Dover. They look really, really pretty, and I was like quite shocked that I hadn't actually
seen
them.
So you've never seen them? I never knew that. So, but actually, that was interesting because the Americans had never seen that as well, and they took some photos, and it was really nice. But yeah, so we had that week in Holland, and then we eventually made it back to the good old UK. I don't think we got back until ridiculous o'clock on the Saturday or the Sunday. I can't remember what day it was.
Was that the one where there was so much traffic that we had to divert all the way?
No. So what we did then is we settled back in at home, did the barbecues, did the kind of things. The twins were being, you know, the centre of attention. They were back home, and it was really nice. I seem to remember once we'd unpacked and unloaded, even though it was a great week away, just because of the space and the constraints that we'd been under, it was really nice to be back home and that we could spread out, and that Emma and Lizzie...
Didn't our neighbours blast us for something as soon as we came back?
Weren't it the
boys kicking footballs?
So what Gemma's referring to was, we went on a trip to York. So we took them to York. So York's my hometown. I was born in York, and it's where I was born. My mum and dad were from London, and they moved up to Yorkshire. And so I wanted to show the Americans a proper medieval town, and there's no better than York.
It's beautiful.
In Yorkshire, yeah.
We went to
Yorkshire Dales as well, and we had this great time. I mean,
and your sisters were amazing because
we did a proper British picnic, pork pies.
Oh my god, the spreads and even like the blank, everything was so British. And
I think, to be honest with you, it was the first time the girls, the twins, we had these. I'll tell you what was amazing, I forgot to mention it last week. We had the baby carriers that you, and like I'd always looked at them before and seen men and women wearing these carriers. The one I always remember is Alan off the The Hangover. But we got them, and I was a bit kind of like, they look a bit kind of. But actually, they were fantastic. I really liked them, you know. And the girls were comfortable.
They were good fun. And if we were walking somewhere quickly, or we needed to get somewhere that we knew we would be able to get the bugaboo out. It was, and what we did is we sort of, because there was four adults,
we shared
the babies.
Yeah.
When one of us got a little bit tired, we sort of changed it over. Tams and Jeff absolutely loved it.
I seem to remember as well, Gems, that the girls, there was never a moment when I had one of the twins in those things. I think they were to your chest, right? They weren't those ones where they kind of like looked.
No, they were to your chest and facing you.
They were never, seemed uncomfortable. Quite often they fell asleep. They were comfortable to wear. I mean, you know, when I look back on it, that's definitely a definite buy that I would get if you're the parent of twins, you're going away for your first holiday, you just want a little bit of freedom without
flexibility,
without taking the bug in, all that kind of stuff. But so I've lost my train of thought. So yeah, back in the UK, blah blah blah, gone to York. So we got in, all piled into the van again, went up to York.
I've just remembered something. The hotel again.
Oh yeah, so you might recall, if you listen to the last episode, that I drove all the way to Holland and turned up at the wrong holiday park. Well,
guess what? I would
like to tell you now that I also drove all the way to York and turned up at the wrong Premier Inn. And that's, I think, where my brain was. You talk about baby brain in mums. I don't know, because I'm normally, I think you'd agree, quite well organised when it comes to travel. I know where I'm going, I know the
Mace
route.
Whenever we go on holiday, wherever it is, Mace has an itinerary. And although when we first got together, I really laughed at it, it does help us sort of work out where we're going. And the it gives us structure. And although
I used to take the piss, but now you still do. Everyone takes the piss out of my itineraries. So.
It's something that you enjoy doing, and it's something to work towards. And especially like last year when we went to Florida Disney, it was really, really good structure because we knew where we wanted to go, and
and I like to have a plan. But I think
you love it.
I'm not like one of these kind of like army major regiment. Right, we must go. Right, today we must go. It's 9 a.m. We must go to.
Are you sure?
I think you'd agree that I have.
Oh no, you're not. I've always been flexible,
and what I've always tried to do in all the itineraries that I've done with the girls and with you is to kind of go, you know, I've put this in. It's not a problem if we don't go. It's something that you might want to do.
It's also good because it shows what we need to do, how many days we've got left. So each evening we'll review our itinerary and go, well, yes, we did that, or no, we didn't do that.
However, we don't want to do it, or it's
peeing down with rain. Can we swap the days over, which we did when we went to Disney?
Yeah, it does work.
So I have got a big blessing.
It doesn't work that bad.
I know I take the piss out of you, but you are awesome.
I know. I agree. So we went to York, turned up at the wrong hotel.
Again,
it was like, a four-hour journey, maybe a little bit longer than that. Everyone's absolutely clucking, absolutely desperate to get out of the van. And I go into the hotel and they basically say, we don't have a booking for you. And I start fretting and worrying, but eventually find out it's a mile down the road or 2 miles down the road, but right in the city centre. So there was nowhere to park. Dropped everybody off. In the last episode, was that
the one where you drove down the little thing and you was able to park around the back?
No, that was the wrong one.
Oh, that was the wrong one.
So I was able to park in the wrong one, but the right one didn't have any parking, so I had to find somewhere else to park.
I can't even remember that.
So I dropped everybody off. In the last episode, if you haven't listened to it, please do, but in the last episode I talk about how cramped and how difficult it kind of was to just manage the twins and everything that we needed to do in a two-bedroom chalet in Holland. That ain't nothing on trying to manage four-month-old twins, I think we agreed. Four-month-old twins in a family premier in room.
Was Alfie with us?
Alfie was with us.
So we had...
But we got three rooms, I think. So the Tammy and Jeff stayed in one. The boys slept in another.
But we had to pretend that an adult was sleeping in with the boys.
My God, yeah. So we had to lie to Premier Inn. Sorry if you're listening, Premier Inn, but we lied to you. We said there was an adult staying in the room with the kids. There wasn't. Life sucks. You still got your money. So we checked in, and actually we still managed, I think, that evening to go out. We went out for something to eat. We had a nice...
We went into underground in like a cave.
Lendell Sellers. It was a place that I went to in my youth when I was growing up. If there's any listeners from York, any students from the 80s, they will know the infamous Lendell Sellers.
It was really back in the day.
Yeah,
oh, but was it?
Yeah. It was like a proper party, drunk student type place.
Oh, wow.
It seemed a bit different when we went during the day, didn't it?
Yeah.
So we had something to eat there, and then we took them on a tour. And if you don't know York, in North Yorkshire in England, it's medieval town. It's got a bar walls. It's got a very old Gothic cathedral in the I think it's called a... Is it a cathedral? I think it's a cathedral. No, it's a minster, but really impressive, really lovely town. If you've never been, I would really recommend you go there. It's absolutely fantastic, absolutely phenomenal.
And if you haven't been, go at Christmas because they do ice sculptures and they have like their little
Absolutely right advice. You know, it's a really, really lovely place to go. It's possibly my second favourite city after London. London is definitely my favourite city, but York is definitely one of those places that if you've never been, if you're coming over to England, or if you're already in England and you've never been to York, go there. Races. We went racing before the girls were born.
York races is
fantastic. Absolutely brilliant evening. So we showed the Americans York. We went up the North Yorkshire Moors, and that was a great day out. The moors are fantastic. And I think they really, really kind of appreciate... Because that was more aligned... Rather than the tube and the city, I think... I think they really appreciated because the countryside. They're in the rural,
yeah, 100%, because it wasn't so...
Sorry, I turned you down there by mistake. I apologise. Go on, carry on. Because, thanks. No, go on, carry on. It's me. I'm still getting used to it. I do apologise to the listeners.
Okay. No, because of where they live and the fact that they are so rural and they have to travel everywhere by car, it was... London was so hustle and bustle for them. I actually didn't go because of the girls, and you took them to like the changing of the guards and stuff like that. And when I came back and they came back, they were so stressed, and they were like, although they enjoyed it because they experienced it, they were claustrophobic. They really didn't feel comfortable, where in Yorkshire it is very open and they felt a lot more comfortable there in the picnic, and your sister's done an amazing job. Yeah, we spent the day with the ruins of the castle when the kids were climbing up it.
So it wasn't the castle. Sorry. But, I can imagine why you thought it was a castle. So that was the Museum Gardens in York, which is an old abbey. So they're ruins. But it is a fantastic... absolutely fantastic park, and we had a proper...
If my girls went there now, they'd call it a castle.
And they would be absolutely right to call it a castle.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, so we had a lovely British picnic with pork pies and all the kind of stuff. None of this kind of like American barbecue, lobsters and beef steak and barbecues.
Cucumber sandwiches. We had little scones.
Yeah, we had all that kind of stuff. So
which they made themselves as well. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, my mum and my sisters did me proud that day. So we had a couple of days in York, and then I think to really wrap up the holiday with the first holiday, so the first 2 weeks, holiday with the girls, we drove back from York. The last kind of like little spanner in the works was coming down the A1. Down the A1, there'd been some horrendous accident on the A1. The whole of the A1 was closed, so we had to, around about, I think it was Peterborough or somewhere around there, we had to go on this massive diversion, and it probably added, it's normally about a 5 hour drive, it probably added another 3 hours to the drive. Again, everyone was absolutely, I mean, how you managed with the twins in the back, everyone wanted to pee every 5 minutes. Oh, it was just, it was a real, we didn't have a lot of luck. If there's anyone out there that knows a better way to get around with twins when they're 4 months old and you've got 8 other people, I'd love to know, because I drove that whole 2 weeks. It was really, really stressful. I loved every minute of it, and I loved showing our American friends the experiences that we've had and the places that I love, but... my God, that was the icing on the cake. Coming back from York, I think we had another day. We had, I think the rest of it, we took them to Southend on Sea, which anyone in Essex and the South East probably knows is the premier seaside resort in the South East of England. Forget about your Brightons and your Margates. Southend on Sea is the place to be. It isn't actually really by the sea, it's by the mouth of the Thames. So you can actually see the other side of the river when you're on Southend-on-Sea, even though it's called Southend-on-Sea. I still think that it's not on the sea. But it has got the longest pleasure pier in the world.
It has. Yeah. It's Bridgeton's Atlantic City to... yeah. It's what we could...
it's not quite Atlantic Sea, but...
no, but it had attractions and...
yeah, yeah. So we had a
good day
there. It
didn't have the huge pizzas that they do. Oh, my goodness.
Or chocolate-covered bacon. Didn't have that either. But they do have, and a big shout-out, that's me going, lemon
that's
ice.
That's him thumping his chest.
Lemon ice. There's nothing like it.
No, but I don't think the Americans do lemon ice, do they?
No, they do. When we've been in Atlantic City or down by the coast, they do... this Italian, I think they call it gelatino. It's more of a kind of sorbet stuff. We call it lemon ice, so it's the same
thing. If Americans come to the UK, try the lemon ice.
At Ross's in Southend on Sea.
Oh, in Ross's.
Forget about changing the guard or going to Buckingham Palace.
Just go to Ross's and just have their lemon ice, because it is amazing.
Walking down Downing Street or going to see Big Ben, which is the clock. Houses of Parliament. Anyway, that's covered in...
is it up now?
No, it's covered in scaffolding still.
Okay.
Forget all about that. Get yourselves down to Southend-on-Sea. Yeah. Get yourself a lemon ice from Ross's. Have a walk on the pier. What else could they do? They could have their palms read by Gypsy Lee.
Perhaps they can play on the 2p slot machines. They can go to Adventure Island.
Yeah, so there's loads of things you could do.
Bowling. There's a lot to do.
Yeah. If it's not in the Lonely Planet guide of the top 10 things to do in the UK, if you're in Australia or Japan or whatever, China, and you're thinking you're coming to the UK, then it bloody should be. Bloody should be. And actually, you could look us up on the way back. We'll make you a cup of tea.
Indeed.
So that was a holiday.
Yes.
So that was part two. So we kind of like finished it. Do you think?
I think so, yeah.
So that would have been probably too long for episode 5, wouldn't it? Because we're looking at, you know, 25, another 25 minutes, half an hour. So that would have been an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like part two of the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought we could do now, I was hoping the girls wouldn't be tired tonight. Because I'm going to get them to tape a few little bullet points, a few little segment things, so we can introduce new segments.
Little jingles.
Yeah, I was going to do that today. But I guess what
I was kind of... Mace woke the whole household up at 5:30 this morning.
So I didn't.
You did.
How did I wake them up?
Because your alarm went off and that woke Millie up, and then Millie woke Tilly up, and it was like, yeah,
it's like a chain reaction, isn't it? Yeah, it is a chain reaction.
So you weren't prepared to get up at 5:30. It woke everyone else up. You were ridiculously loud. So the house and myself have been up since 5:30 this morning. Booyakasha.
But you didn't have to go into London.
I didn't, but I looked after the twins all day and had to go down A&E and deal with everything.
Didn't have to go on the tube into London.
You was this afternoon, and you had a meeting local.
Yep, just saying.
Just
I got up to go out to bust my balls in what was, I think, quite a stressful day, to be honest with you. For
me. I've done that for the past 2 days, but today I didn't, and I was looking after our girls.
Okay. But.
But.
Just saying, I had to get up. I had no other choice. I would have liked to have stayed in bed. And not woken the girls up.
You could have done it more mindfully and not made so much noise.
Okay. So I
gone downstairs and had a shower downstairs rather than...
I did.
You didn't?
I did.
Well, what the hell were you doing in a ensuite then?
I had to get
noisily.
Toothbrush, I think.
Yeah, okay. Turn every light on.
I'm sure our listeners don't want to hear about our little internal squabbles and the fact that you're easily woken by a hard-working partner going out to earn money.
I don't mind being woken.
To keep
it's
you
when,
in the lifestyle that you're
it's
accustomed
to. It's
when
you wake up the twins.
But I don't mean to. I don't.
You're just so loud.
Yeah, but do you think I'd get up in the morning going, do you know, I tell you what, the first thing I need to do before I do anything else, before
because
I have
I've
a shower,
up, so why
or a
can't
wee, or a
up?
Poo, is I must wake up one of the twins.
Why not?
Is that what you think I do?
Possibly.
I do absolutely everything. I try and tiptoe around the house. I do absolutely everything.
Oh my God.
What did I say to you on Monday? Was it Monday or Tuesday?
Boom.
I'm
trying to show how loud you are.
Well, I can't help the fact that I'm a big guy. I do make a noise. Maybe
you don't when I'm off.
Which
when I don't wake you up, you don't wake me up because I had to get up early on Tuesday and Wednesday to go to work, and the girls woke up and I was trying to be quiet. Because they woke you up, it's like, yeah, fuck you. I'm in on Wednesday. My alarm's set at 5:30. I'm going to get the whole household up. But to be fair, it's worked in our favour because it's 6:15 and the girls are in bed. Well, it's not now, but...
Well, I can guarantee you now, every morning I get up early, I absolutely do everything I feel that I can to kind of like not disturb the household, I promise you. So if you think any of that is intentional, then I'm afraid you're mistaken. Okay? Are you happy to leave it there?
Yes.
Or we'll do you want to carry on?
No, we'll park it.
We'll park it. What? Yeah. That's like, we're going to have this again, aren't we? Another day, aren't we?
Of course. We always do.
So, what I wanted to touch on next was, and I touched on it right at the start of the programme, or the show, whatever we want to call it, is, you know, we've you know, we've actually been blown away by how many people have listened to the podcast, listened to us wittering on, talking nonsense, arguing with each other, all those kind of things. It's been really, really great in just a week. And, you know, it'd be great if you like it, if you could subscribe, you could rate and all those kind of things. But do you know what? If you don't like it, actually, let us know. Tell us why.
We're on iTunes now.
I know, yeah. We're on iTunes. If you Google... I think my sister, the Twin Chat Show. My sister said we come top or something. Yeah. So
if it's the Twin Chat Show, we come top on Google. Wow. If it's Twin Chat Show, we're second in, but we're there.
Wow. Like, a presence. Yeah. Could be famous, Gems. Would you want to be famous? I don't think you would you?
No, but it's this is us.
I don't want to be famous. I just like a lot of the people that I've spoken to. Have nailed it on the head. They've talked when I've said about what we've been doing and the fact that we've been doing this every Friday and that we've, you know, been looking across each other across the kitchen. You've been smiling, I've been smiling. We've both been really enjoying it. A lot of people have said to me, "Do you know what? That's a brilliant idea. But B, even if no one else listened to it."
We can hear how much you're enjoying it.
No, but that's not what I was going to say. You jumped in, didn't you?
Of course I do.
A lot of people have been saying, oh, can you imagine, like, your twins when you're, like, dead and... Not being morbid, but, like, when you're dead and buried...
They've got this to listen to.
They go, oh, do you want to... You know, they might even say, oh, do you want to listen to Nan and Grandad? Yeah. Or do you want to listen to my mum and dad talking about us and the way we grew up?
Yeah.
And they're absolutely right. I don't think it really matters deep down to me or you, really.
No, because if mum and dad were...
love it, don't get me wrong, no. I love it. I love the fact
that people are actually taking their time to listen to us.
And then reaching out and contacting and saying, oh, that was great,
it's
really
like the emails that we received and the tweets and everything. Yeah. No, it's amazing, but it's one of those that if my mum and dad had done this, it'd be like, well, it'd be something... that I would always have for myself, and through times and how everything has evolved through the computers and stuff like that, my girls have now got that, and it's always going to be there because it's always going to be on iTunes and Spotify, and
unless they go bust or something. Perhaps, but anyway, we've got it.
We've backed it up, and it's there for our girls. Yeah. And
I agree.
It's a lovely touch for them, like for their 18th birthday, because they'll probably know what they'll we're
listen,
doing. When...
They'll listen to it before then.
Of course they will.
They'll listen to it before then. I think what I find is sometimes when we've done a show and we've made a recording and I start thinking about, oh, what else could we talk about? Mm. And that's where it's been... really helpful to we've had some feedback from people already, which I'll touch on. If you want to get in contact with us, then we'd love it. You know,
we've had lots of questions,
which
I was really surprised about, but I think it's like
do you think people are genuinely interested in
raising twins, are they from twin people? No,
or
it's the people like, that the people that we've had that I've reviewed on our emails, it's been like singleton parents. How you actually
I hate that phrase. Can we use something else? People with not twins. It just singleton sounds really... To me, it sounds quite derogatory. I don't know. Singleton parents.
It's just...
Am I wrong?
I suppose it's a twin talk when you're in hospital and stuff like that. It's people with one child is a singleton and people with two...
I just think it sounds a bit... I don't know.
Perhaps. But it's the people with that have birthed one child at a time rather than birthing two or three or plus. It's... There's been a lot of questions of how do you cope? How do you tell them apart? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, how do you feed? And there's been so much interest, which I hope that we can touch on in another Q&A session. Because to be fair, it's a learning curve for us because we had no idea. I was in hospital for 2 days. We came home and which I've touched on before, but I was so desperate to breastfeed. And unfortunately, after the fourth day, we'd had 2 hours sleep within 48 hours and I was dual feeding them, which means I was feeding both at the same time. And I was absolutely exhausted. I was scared of falling asleep. And
one mouth on every boob.
Indeed. And I looked at you and I was like, Mace, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, but we knew. We already knew that was going to be the case. But
I was hoping not. I didn't realise. I struggled because my milk hadn't come in, and perhaps if I'd waited an extra day, then... But you can't, if but, where, or maybe. We took that decision that we were going to bottle feed them then. You got everything out. You sterilised it, you made the bottles, and we then shared the role.
So, what, I mean, I guess the point is like, it's kind of... What is the point? What was the point? How did you get onto that? You've lost... I've lost how you got onto that. How did you get onto feeding the babies?
No, it was just the questions of...
Oh, how did... Yeah, so yeah, someone... Yeah, so sorry, like, I lost my train.
It was a Q&A that we had. How do you feed? And gotcha. Stuff like that. And
yeah.
It's obviously with... I was trying to breastfeed. You couldn't breastfeed. And then we had two babies at the same time.
Yeah, no. That's my fault. I lost my train of thought. I was kind of thinking, how did you get onto the point of breastfeeding?
Sorry, that's me waffling again. I always do. And Mace just laughs at me because I just jump into a conversation and he's like... Where did that come from?
I tell you what was really interesting is how many people that are out there that actually have twins, and you're kind of like, oh, they've got twins. And it made me think today when you sent me, Gemma sent me a link for, there's an actress in the UK, can't remember her name, but she plays Roxy on this soap opera called EastEnders. And she went, oh, she sent me this text, like, so-and-so's got twins. And I'm like, who? I have no idea who you're talking about. She sent me a picture and I was like, oh, Roxy off EastEnders. Not that I watch EastEnders, to be honest with you. But it is really weird, and it got me thinking about all those times when we've kind of like been pushing the buggy and...
Rita Simons,
that was it. But it got me thinking about there's a thing, and... Bear with me when I try and explain it. So there's a thing, and it's a parent of twins thing. And let's just say you're walking down a road, or you're walking in a shopping centre, and you're pushing the buggy, you've got your twins, and towards you see another couple. Same age as you, older than you, younger than you, and they're pushing a similar buggy with twins the same age. And there's this almost kind of, sometimes you might stop and talk, but often you just kind of like look at each other and go,
it's a twin acknowledgement. It's just there's like this kind of like, it's a smile, it's a nod. I know the pain you're going through. I'm not going to stop. You
look tired, mate. I'm not going to stop. I'll tell you what, I definitely ain't going to go, oi, double trouble.
That's the are top. They twins?
Yeah. Are they twins? You're not gonna stop them and talk to them about all the things that you but normally get stopped
it was like
on.
The but there silent, is this
kind of
no,
like kind of
there
is, it's, energy it's between like this, you.
And I think it's quite funny because my some of my friends have had motorcycles, and being on the back of them before, there's this thing that they've always done where you sort of when a motorcycle was coming past, you sort of give them like the silent nod to say, hey.
It's like bus drivers. Bus drivers do it.
Oh.
I do it to people in Ford Rangers.
Do you?
Yeah, Wild Track Ford Rangers. I see people in the Ford track. I'm driving my light pickup and I go, oh, all right, mate.
I didn't know they'd done that, but I know particularly it was on the motorcycles where you should give each other the silent nod. And it's the same with like twin parents. You sort of walk in past, you sort of take a look in to see whether they look the same age. And you give them the silent nod. It's like, yeah, I know your pain.
Yeah, definitely.
Good luck to you, Mum. High five.
But look, for the rest of the show, what I want to do. So you're right. So I want to just take a couple of things. Well, maybe one, maybe two, but we'll see. But certainly one. So one of the emails I got was a really, really lovely email from Donna. I won't say who she is, but Donna, she's expecting twins. She was in her email, she said, look, first time listener, I think she found out from a friend.
Really I posted it on our twins site.
Yeah, really, really loved the show. And she said, one of the things that kind of worries her is about, she's got kids already and they've always had different appetites. And she was saying, she asked, she says Do you find that the twins eat the same? Do you have to do different meals? Do you have to do the same meals? Do they have different tastes, etc., etc.? I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Because they do have different tastes. Do you want to?
They do now. When they were younger, it was very much that I had. Bless your mum. She gave me this cookbook of nutrition's how to start, like with the weaning aspects of it. And because I didn't have time to cook every day, I did everything in bulk. So I would cook probably about 4 different meals, put them all in the silicone muffin trays. So, and then I'd freeze them. So
rather
am I digressing?
Jumped ahead a little bit. So obviously from an early age, they just drink milk, right?
From an early age.
Did one of them take milk better than the other? They were both
quite sicky, but there was never any reflux. So we've been really fortunate. Although they were sicky, we never had any of the reflux issues or anything like that. So they took their milk and they were good feeders all the way through. And
I remember a couple of times where we just, for some reason, you managed to convince me to buy a new ridiculous LC leather sofa just before the girls were born, which we did. And yes,
it was more because
can I finish, please? You made me buy
it. No, there was a reason. We needed a sofa down the man cave. For when our yank stowed.
I do remember that
it was your choice. That wasn't my choice.
Okay, but then we spent the next 6 months to 8 months trying to protect it. And then in the end, we just gave up.
We gave up
because we'd feed a kid, feed one of the twins. Sometimes it'd come up all over you. Sometimes it'd come all and actually, when you look back on those moments, some of them were really funny, you know, because you kind of. You think you've just got over it. You've just winded them. You think, oh, you've brought up a couple of burps. You think, oh, happy days. And all of a sudden, it's like a scene from The Exorcist. You know, like the only thing that's missing is the head spinning round. It's just, but I kind of remember from my point of view, Gemma, that they were pretty consistent. They took the milk. I think we had a couple of issues with teat flow. There was a couple of times when we maybe changed the teat, or sometimes it seemed to be going a lot slower.
It was more with the girls wasn't sleeping through, and one of my friends, although this is, I can say it on a podcast, but obviously you just don't. One of my friends said,
"Don't share it."
Don't share it or take my advice.
Are you sure you were?
No, this is why I wasn't going to say.
Well, don't say it then if you're uncomfortable about saying something. Because you can't say something on a podcast that might be shared with throughout the world. Yeah, I'm going to say this, but if you're listening, don't share it.
I know that, but hilarious. I was given a little bit of advice, but it's something that you would need to look into first because there is a lot of things that. I posted it once on the twin site and said, this really, really helped for me. And I got really, really slated for
it. Mother.
Yeah, pretty much. But one of my friends basically...
Explain. Why was you a bad mother? Because you prop-fed.
No. It wasn't prop-feeding. It was the fact that with the... I can't remember what it was. Was it the... You know the rice mixture? On their night feed, I used... One of my friends said, try what I did with my son is I put like a teaspoon of rice mixture in their milk to thicken it up to give them a bit more appetite.
So you took that advice.
And I took that advice.
It worked.
It did work.
You posted it.
I got crucified because I literally got the Google snap, do not put anything in their milk other than milk because they can choke, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like... I was doing it from a mumma that gave me the advice and it worked for me, but obviously I'm not going to be giving that advice, but
no one's ever going to be a perfect mum. No one's ever going to be a perfect dad. I was a first time mum.
And yeah. I was trying to get my babies to sleep through because I was absolutely exhausted.
It was terrible.
And it worked for me, but when I tried to pass that on, there was huge
health and
safety. But
then that's social media all over, though. It doesn't matter what you say. You know, you can post something on social media, on Facebook or whatever. it might be the soundest piece of advice that anyone could ever give. And there's always going to be someone that's going to slag it off.
It's one of those that you've got to be... When I fed my babies, I was always there with them. I was conscious of what they were taking and I never left them for a minute when they were feeding. So I was there. But obviously, yeah, you might get some mamas that are there and they sort of leave their babies while feeding. They might possibly choke. I don't know, but it was just something that it helped me. So I wanted to pass it on, but yeah, I got ridiculed for it. And I think the post ended up getting stopped and deleted so people couldn't read it.
It was deleted.
It was.
For giving bad advice. And what a bad mother you are.
Yeah, I know. And I almost got chucked off the twin side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the... And I was...
Look, can I give some of my advice, not just to you, but to anyone listening? Do you know what? You look back on all the things that your parents used to do, whether you're as old as I am.
If you're teething, put a bit of brandy on your gums.
It's all crap, you know?
It is.
You know, it's all crap.
You know your babies.
The thing is social media,
the
power of social media and... You know, people sometimes put out, you know, it's like your nan saying, oh, just give her a bit of Guinness, you know, or put some ketamine in their ready breath. Not that your nan would say that. They might do. If your nan says that to you, then let's meet your nan. But you know what I mean? Everyone's got a little bit of advice.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a little bit of insider information. What works for them? And if their kids are alive and healthy and happy and they're giving you some advice, regardless of what people say or do, my view would be like, oh, well, their kids are all right. You know what I mean? I don't get it.
No, it was from my friends and I took that advice. And I thought that I was going to be helping out another twin mama, but
yeah,
the ridicule that I got from Miss Health and Safety.
You live and learn, James. You live and learn.
You do. And then I guess I pull back a little bit.
Yeah, and I guess this is one of the challenges that you've got with some of these, some of these Facebook sites and all that kind of stuff. But, let's just agree that if you feed your child anything or dress them in anything or take them anywhere, they are at risk of something happening. And actually, once you get over that, because that's just an undisputable fact, just get on and just enjoy your life.
I've got a prime example now. There was, I will not let my girls have any of the round lollipops.
Right.
So they are banned in our
house. Chubba Chops.
Chubba Chubbas or whatever, they are banned because...
I love Chubba Chops.
I love them.
Coffee ones.
There is a huge choking aspect to it. And I am like completely, no. We go to the nursery and there was a little girl, she was, oh my goodness, she was probably 1.5. No, she was just coming up for her second birthday and she was sucking on Chubba Chubba lolly. And the fright and the hysteria that I actually got from seeing this little one with a Chubba Chubba lolly and the potential with like choking hazard, but every parent is different and you've just got to... Yeah.
But you can't be a parent for other people's kids.
Exactly, and that's
sometimes you'd love to be, given, you know, you read horrific stories and you read, you know, you pick up the paper and I feel, you know, I've sometimes been on...
You have to do what's right for your babies.
Yeah, but I've sometimes sat on the train going to work close to tears when you've read some horrific story about the way that children have been treated by the parents. And it absolutely breaks my heart because, you know, I can never imagine doing anything that would intentionally hurt my child. But I think at the same time, I love the fact that I can take Millie and Tilly, I know, to the park tomorrow and on the biggest climbing frame that there is in that park.
They've got no fear.
Within 2 minutes, they're at the top. And yes, is it dangerous? Yes. Yeah. If they fell and
would they hurt themselves?
They probably would. Yeah. But they've got the confidence. They're happy to do it. I'm there on hand. And I don't know. I just... you can't wrap kids in cotton wool. And I, you know, I think back to my youth and my mum and dad. My mum and dad opened the door and I just was like, out. I was quite fortunate. I lived in a street where there was no through traffic. It was a very quiet street. There was loads of kids my age on the street. And we'd go off and I wouldn't be back for like 10 hours.
No, it was...
No one would know where I was. But then it was a different day. It was a different time.
When we were younger and we used to go over to my nana's house and we used to get our bikes and our scooters and our skates and they had a cul-de-sac. And at that time, there was hardly any cars. It was like everyone was parked on the drive. Nowadays, when you come down like 30 years plus, there's so many cars that you can't actually get a car down. But I remember like literally sitting on a skateboard and seeing how fast we could go going down the hill. And it was always like mum and dad used to say, make sure I had like a 10 pence or a 20 pence in my pocket. It's like, come back before the street lights come on.
So I need to explain to our younger listeners that in the day that Gemma and I was growing up, there wasn't a thing called a mobile phone. You had to use a thing called a phone box.
And the big red things.
There's still some around. Nope, not the letterboxes. No, the big red things with a phone in them. And you had to put a 10. I think then it was 20 pence.
It was 10 pence at the beginning and then it went to 20 pence.
Shows you how old I was. It was 2p when I used to go out. So I had a 2p in my sock. So yeah, back in the day, you young'uns, you have no idea. Oh, bless you.
Or the reverse charging. My dad used to go mental at that.
You could even actually go into the phone and you could...
And reverse charge your phone calls. Charge. Oh, my dad used to tell me off so bad.
But then obviously that wouldn't work. Even today, that wouldn't work because that required you to actually speak with your voice to someone. Whereas, of course, we know today that's just like ridiculous. Why would you ever speak to someone? So anyway, look, let's go back to this question. So that question from Donna was originally about how did the girls eat, and but let me give you my take on this.
Okay.
So we've got identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
They look the same. They sometimes act the same. Sometimes if they're running away from me, I don't know the difference. But if they're coming towards me, I kind of like know who's who. But I do actually think that they have got quite a diverse... And the more they've grown, they're now, 3 years, nearly 6 months, they have got different palates.
Not when they were babies.
Because like my best example
I know what one you're going to say as well.
Last Sunday, I'm taking Alfie to football. Gemma's in the kitchen. We're all in the kitchen. I'm taking Alfie to football. I've got to take him to his football game.
And you're kissing the girls
Kissing the girls goodbye. And Tilly comes running up to me.
He just looks at you in her eyes.
Like thinking, oh, I love you, Daddy. I love you. Or something like that. And she went, Daddy, you will bring me back humus. And that is God's gospel. That is exactly what she said. I was thinking she was coming in for another hug.
No.
Give me another kiss.
Daddy, you are going to bring back some humus, aren't you?
You are going to bring me back some humus, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, I have no idea what the hell I'm going to do today. But having said that,
I've now got to make sure
I can guarantee you now I'm bringing you back humus just because you said that. Hummus. Hummus.
Hummus.
Hummus.
Hummus. Hummus. Yeah,
humus. Hummus. You say humus, I say hummus. But anyway. And so I absolutely had to. So she likes things like hummus.
Tomatoes. My goodness. She could eat tomatoes. If we allowed her to do it, she would eat a whole punnet of tomatoes, one after the other.
What else?
I don't think there's anything more. I don't think there is.
Do you think she's more of a veg? So like today, when we had dinner today, you did your fantastic chicken and pasta bake.
Mm-hmm.
I think my mum gave you the recipe. Millie ate all the chicken and left some pasta. Tilly ate all the pasta and left most of the chicken. So is one going to be a veggie and the other going to be like a meat eater?
I've got no idea. They both love the fruit. They're very...
I tell you what, you probably don't know this, but we are very fortunate parents. I think there'll be a lot of people listening to this to know that 2-3-year-olds can sit here and just go through a whole basket of fruit.
100%.
I mean, I have no issues with it. I mean, if they want to sit here and if they're hungry and they want to go can have a banana, apple, orange. But you said the other day they kind of like basically went through a whole basket.
It was literally, I was just upstairs and running their bath whilst they were finishing off whatever fruit they were having. The pair of them, when I came downstairs, a pair of them were both sitting on our breakfast bar with the fruit bowl in the middle. One of them had peeled another banana and sort of taken a bite out of another apple. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So, but it's a healthy snack. Yes, they do. They've got a sweet
tooth. But do you think we've got a problem with them? That's the only thing that I was worried, because they eat gems, don't they? They eat.
As long as...
They're like 2-3-year-old locusts.
If they come in like after nursery, they are so hungry. So the first thing that I do is make sure that they literally walk through, tell them to do the toilet train, wash their hands, come in. Dinner's literally ready because I pre-cook everything and I freeze it. They come in, they eat their dinner, they'll have a lolly or two because they're only like the little ice lollies, so there's no calories, it's absolutely fine. But then they'll still say that they're hungry, but by that time I'm half running the tubby upstairs. They might have a piece of fruit, but they'll keep... It's whether they are hungry or whether it's a tiredness thing, because when they get ridiculously tired, it's like, oh, I want this. I'm like, no. Daddy's a little bit more of a soft touch than mummy is, because
I don't try to be. Do you think I am?
Yeah, you give in easily.
I don't try to be.
I'm like, no.
I did have a meltdown yesterday. There was like a proper meltdown. It was like...
They do.
Definitely
they have, yeah. They're tired and they're hungry.
I think one of the key things that I find with our girls is that they are constantly on the go. There is so much energy. So actually, sometimes I don't feel that bad because they're not fat. They're not overweight.
No, absolutely not. They are tall girls, but in our nursery, they've started an outside area, which is like they've got their mud garden and they've got the adventures and they've got like a fake fire pit and stuff like that. And the girls say, the nursery teachers say, our girls are literally out there all the time. It's them that are actually bringing them back in to warm them up, give them some warm milk or a hot chocolate.
They had chocolate the other day, didn't they?
Yeah. And it's, but they are outside,
outside
girls.
Outside people, aren't they?
We've had our...
We're going to get them climbing and...
They're climbing now. Already. Yeah. They love it. And it's very much that we've just had our patio done and we've extended it quite significantly to what it used to be. And literally the girls are like, I want to be out there. So they're out on their bikes, their scooters, their cars. They are outside girls.
Yeah, so going back to the original question, thank you very much, Donna.
Thank you, but we've not answered it.
We haven't answered it at all, have we? What do you think? So what's the conclusion? So yeah, they...
What was the question?
I tell you what, they've got good appetites. They've got very good appetites. They like to eat. They love ice lollies. They like peanut butter, they like broccoli. I mean, they're quite good with their veg.
Oh, yeah.
They're quite good. Carrots, they really like that kind of stuff.
From an early age, I literally cooked everything, didn't I, from scratch. Yeah. I used to spend hours.
Can I just jump in? I must say, because I've had, you know, I've got older children, and, you know, I spent a fortune during their toddler years on the Cow and Gate stuff and the jars that you get from Tesco's or whatever supermarket that you're at. Gemma has practically cooked, apart from the odd treat where you get chips and, you know, some like fish and chips or fish fingers or chicken nuggets or something like that. For their main meals, you've cooked that fresh.
From scratch. And it'd probably take me probably 2 hours for each meal.
And I would say they've woofed it down from day one because there's nothing in there. There's no artificial.
Everything's been in there. And that was one of the things that
fresh produce, courgettes chopped up finely, and all that kind of stuff. And I really do genuinely believe that from an early age, they got the taste of those types of different foods, and I think that's really helped them now because they love veg, they love broccoli, they love carrots, sweet corns, they'll eat anything.
They will pretty much eat anything, and I don't know whether it is the fact that I cooked it from scratch, and we've literally weaned them. And
but you never had it. Remember? I think I remember buying.
Don't we turn was out of food or something.
We was out one day. It might have even been.
I think
been,
we was at Lakeside or something, and we wasn't supposed to be over that certain time.
And we bought some jarred food, fed it to them, and they rejected it. And that was really early on.
And I was actually quite proud of that as well.
And actually, you're right to be proud, because you put some effort into it. I was kind of like...
skeptical.
No, I did it, you know. But
it was something
you was absolutely right.
I wanted to know what my girls were having.
And you put them all in. So you make all these meals. You do a
put them in little muffin trays.
Muffin trays.
When they were really, really tiny, and we started weeding them, I put them in ice cube blocks. So we'd have like broccoli mashed down, and we'd have carrots mashed down. And then we could, when they were eating a little bit more, we'd put them together. So they'd have like carrots and broccoli, or there was sweet corn, and there was like butternut squash and everything. I'd literally liquidise and freeze, because I knew that it was fresh and I'd made it, and there was nothing in there. And it did work.
You're really right. So, Donna, I don't think we answered your question. I think we kind of did. But, I mean, in summary, yeah, they eat really well. There's not much they don't like. I think a lot of it is down, based on what we were just talking about there, I think a lot of it is down to how Gemma had this strategy that she got this book. You might need to send a link, or we'll talk about the book in the future.
I'll have to find it. I'm sure I've still got it.
You got that book, and it was like all about cooking fresh produce for your babies, and then onto toddler range.
And it had some fantastic recipes.
And as I say, we didn't actually buy any food, if I remember rightly. I don't think we bought any food apart from once, because we was in a pickle, we didn't have anything with us, and the twins never ate it. So what does that say to you? I mean, for me, that says you cook it yourself, you put the effort in, and it was a lot of effort to put in when you got two twins hanging around your legs.
It wasn't even that. The girls would be in bed and it could be our sleeping time.
So, Donna, thank you very much. We would love you. We would absolutely love you to get in contact. If there's something you want to talk about, if you want us to talk about something, if you want us to stop waffling about something, if you hate the show, if you love the show, we'd love you to get in contact. You can do that. There's loads of, I won't go through them all. There's loads of ways you can get into contact. They're all on the description of the show. The main one, I think, is twinchatshow@gmail.com. Or you can see us on Instagram at Millie Tilly Mason. You can see us on Facebook. So, you know, I'd just like to say thank you very much again for listening.
And thank you.
We hope to be back with you again with another episode
Hopefully real soon.
You want to do one tomorrow? So she's already...
Maybe.
She's already wanting to do one tomorrow. So, look, it might happen, it might not. But in the meantime, take care of yourself.
Goodbye, and thank really you so much for listening. That you did. Please subscribe.
Please subscribe?
Yeah. Subscribe.
Are you begging?
Pardon?
You're begging.
Yeah, I want to be rich.
We're never going to get rich off this podcast, baby.
You never know. I love you.
You're mad. It's never going to happen.
I'm mad anyway.
Well, I know that.
I love you.
If you think we're going to get rich off this podcast, we...
Why not? Subscribe. Millie and Tilly Mason, iTunes.
Well, I need to vote. I'm going to turn you down now because you're mad.
Or Spotify.